It's the Exit 52 podcast, instant analysis here on a Wednesday night. My name is Jake Luke, and I'm joined by my hitters, Spenny and Eric, presented as always by our guys over at Jimmy's Famous Seafood. Boys, here to recap yet another series, this time a little bit more fun than the last one we did. Orioles sweeping the Minnesota Twins and Twins with a walk-off today by little Cedric Mullins to win the game 4-2. Putting one out there to the flag court, the debut of Albert Suarez, going 5.2 innings pitched, 3 hits allowed, 4 strikeouts, looked pretty fantastic. Gentlemen, how we doing?
We're good. We would be a little better if the Toronto Blue Jays could be a professional baseball team and close out a goddamn 4-1 lead as they choke away this the game to the Yankees right here, but whatever. You can only control what you can control, and the Orioles grab their wins, and they're headed to a big one in Kansas City. But other than that, we're flying high right now. We're flying high.
I hate that energy out of you, Eric. I hate the complaint to start an exciting show.
No, I'm not complaining. I'm just asking for, hey, you know, I'm scoreboard watching. I want first place. I want to be able to tuck that in my belt and go to sleep tonight in first place. But, you know, I guess we're going to have to do it all fire and sand stuff all year. You know.
Rain cloud RDT. Just
tucking stuff into his belt to start the show here. I don't know. That was really exciting. Another sweep. Is that 2 out of 3 sweeps? 2 out of 3 series with a tough series against the Brewers. And, man, Cedric Mullins have a series. Gunnar Henderson have a series. Grayson, the starters really have a series. The bullpen have a series. Jordan Westberg have a series. Ryan O'Hearn have a series. Orioles firing on all cylinders. Craig Kimbrell, Yennier Cano. I mean, boys are buzzing other than little Jackie Holliday, who has played, I do want to point out, has now played 7 games. Is it time to send him down?
No. I think you have to. Yeah. You know, everyone on Ravens fan Lamar for life says you have to. He said he's seen enough, so he is done with him. He wants to bring back
your hatred for the Ravens fans. Just really taking center stage with the complaints here this year. I love it.
No, that's just always their Twitter name. Lamar hype guy for, you know, 65.
It's good to see it come back. You know, you really let it fade into the background there a little bit, but it's still bubbling in there. We know that it is. And now that you've got some sort of false dichotomy that you can cling on to, you're applying it to this. Very nice
it's
to see.
That's always their names. It's like Ravens fan. It's like Marlin lover, you know, 2006. And it's like, oh yeah, you're 15 years old. I'm arguing with people who subscribe to the Nelk Boys on why, like, we have to give Jackson more time. And they're like, I don't know. I think I've seen enough. I'm pretty worried. Shut up. You know,
Nelk supremacy.
Had to be such a crossover of people that were so mad that he wasn't on the opening day roster. And then immediately like, send him down. Pull him up, send him down.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. It's, I mean, they're probably like the people that I was seeing that were most vocal on that. And listen, I was one of those people that wanted him up, but the people that I was seeing that were most vocal on that, they're not really the sensible ones, at least I'm not seeing send them down, but certainly are pretty quiet about it. I'll say that. And I don't know. It's just one of those things where, like, I said it in the group chat today, like when we did the live stream where he got called up and it was all of us in here, I was like, look, like, maybe let's preach a little bit of patience and I won't pat myself on the back too hard, because you guys did kind of convince me like, no, this kid, he's ready to go and he's going to come up and it's going to be a stripe show right out of the gate. Very much hasn't been. He's 1 for 20-something and it's been tough to watch. But he's also, like, people have made the point, and I'm sure, you know, fan bases or people in other fan bases would say this is copium, but man, he's getting pitched to, like, it feels like every single guy out there is like Madison Bumgarner in his prime. And he's also getting some really shitty calls. The one at the I think it was in the 7th today, a little bit of a high leverage at bat. He gets out there and, you know, first call is a strike. It's like a mile outside of the zone. Then he gets the ball in the exact same place, chases at it. It's 0-2 right out of the gate. And then he swings it some more junk and it's, you know, an 0-for-3 strikeout. I mean, it's just, you know, it's a lot of things swirling together at once to create just a total fuck pie. And it's been it's been tough to watch. But overall, they're going to stay patient with him. I think the rest of us should stay patient with him as well. These things happen with these guys. I don't care how ready you are. I don't care what the deal is. Like, this stuff, it just, you know, more often than not, it tends to happen with these top prospects.
It's happened with every top prospect the Orioles have called up so far. It's like, I don't know why we're still surprised by this. Yes, we were told, you know, we know all about him. He's a generational talent prospect. Best guy since this guy, Bryce, Adley, all these guys. Yes. they're going to struggle. I mean, again, if this was, it's like, it's crazy. Cause again, if you shift this down a month and say he started the season batting, I don't know, 200, 250, something like that. And then he goes on like a seven game, you know, oh my God, he has one hit in seven games. No one's going to blink an eye and be like, he's not ready. It's just cause of the timing. It's just cause it's since he came up. So again, like the people who are, I can't have this conversation for the fourth time. Like we need the, you know, like you said, Jake, preach patience, being patient. Kowser, you know, again, today the guy's like, well, it worked for Kowser. Send him down. It's like, that's not what they're doing. Like we can't compare Kowser.
Kowser wasn't getting every day bats. It looks a lot like Gunner, right? Gunner had such a good eye. He wanted to be patient. He wanted to take pitches, was getting 50-50 pitches. Then you start having to protect the plate. Then you maybe get a little too aggressive and then you dial it back.
It's a lot easier to forget with Gunner too, because Comiskey Park is first at bat, you know, puts one out into the seats. And like, that's what you think of when you think back on that, you don't think of those struggles. So, you know, if Jackson had done that, he would have earned himself a lot more runway. Sadly, he hasn't. Mm-hmm. And now he's fighting a PR battle as much as he has one at the plate.
For sure. Yeah, let's talk about this game a little bit, maybe then work back. Something I just thought it very simply as I was looking through the game day MLB app here, the Orioles start this game with a home run and their first at bat, and then they end it with a home run. That's pretty cool. Lead off home run by Gunnar Henderson, who hit three in the series, is absolutely just electrically hot. And then Cedric Mullins, of course, walks it off for a 4-2 win.
First ever walk off, you know, Kevin Brown with the ultimate
unbelievable call by Kevin Brown.
Reverse announcer's jinx, you know, never hit a walk off before until maybe now. And yeah, out to the what a series for Kevin Brown too. I mean, I got to go. My dog of the series, by the way, if we can jump right into that, my dogs would be all the dogs out there for Bark at the Park, and specifically the ones nestled in the arms of Kevin and Ben as they were given the opening intro to the game there. Fun to watch.
The best was people like tweeting that video out being like, this is the guy that John Angelo suspended. This is who he suspended, as he's holding like a little baby pit bull. And he's like, please adopt these dogs, help save these dogs. And
he suspended
like,
Gandhi.
This is the monster that you had hidden up in the attic, John Angelo. So I hope you're happy, you size 7 wearing loser. But
the size 7, you're really hammering away on the size 7 thing. Do we have a confirmation on that? I mean, it's got to be in the neighborhood.
Well, fun fact. So I've been saying the size 7 thing, and then
Drake copied me. That's not the first time. Drake generally is checking on what you're doing.
Yeah, maybe he's a listener. I'm sure he is.
Probably, yeah. I mean, he's a big Ravens guy. So maybe he's one of these Ravens accounts that's, you know, sliding up into your DMs and arguing with you about Jackson Holliday. Could maybe be one
Eric
of those.
Eric has been arguing with Drake's Orioles burners, Ravens burners.
Yeah.
Routinely.
He's the Tony Kemp tracker.
Yeah, maybe. And by the way, little Tony Kemp signed with the Twins, didn't he?
Yep.
Get a little.
Was fully expecting him to have a go ahead hit in like the eighth inning of a game, even though they sent him to the minors.
Of course. So they'll find it.
Yeah.
Other cool stuff in this game, of course, we would be remiss not to talk about Albert Suarez, who had 14 swing and misses in this game. We had Alex Fast saying he had 12 inches of run on his heater. And got his third strikeout and ninth fastball whiff, which tied the 24 MLB record for most fastball whiffs in the first three innings. 9 fastball whiffs in the first three innings is electric. I think he had the most scoreless innings since 2017 in an Orioles debut. And then Brandon Hyde on Suarez, quote, according to Rockabacco, I can envision him getting more starts. Why the hell not? I mean... No one not named Corbin Burns or Grayson Rodriguez has turned in that electric in terms of stuff and kind of composure of a start. And Jake, you had one of my favorite tweets of the week for the Orioles as well. You just said stock up on the pitching lab, on the Aberdeen beakers being poured in old Bel Air there, the Bel Air pitching lab. So man, oh man, that was so much fun. How much fun can you have in a day game like this? It was raining, the walk-off, the home run, Suarez. Just this could have been the most blah game after they already won a series and, you know, Adley's DH'd a couple times, this, that, and the other. Easily could have just been fine, you know, Twins having a rusty little performance and stealing a game. Absolutely not. So many fun tidbits about this game, it felt like.
And it was looking like it was going to be one of those games. He was not getting really any run support because you get the solo shot from Gunner to open things up. And then all game, it's just he's fighting out there and he's keeping it within, uh, you know, he's keeping us in the game there with the 1-0 score. And then Tony Taters breaks the slump a little bit with another solo shot. You're up 2-1, and then they tie it up again. And that gives you, you know, the opportunity for Seti to go ahead and hit that, the walk-off there. So, and then the walk-off dong bong too. Great to see.
That was, yeah. When, well, you know, like, have you seen those TikToks where it's like, when your wife is away or your girlfriend's away, like dogs on the table. And it's like people literally putting their dogs on the table. Yeah. That's all I could think of. Like when you hit walk-offs, you get bongzilla on home plate. But, like you said, this easily could have been a game where they're like, we got to fly out after this. Like, let's be honest, Pablo Lopez versus Albert Suarez. I mean, that and that's why I tweeted earlier. I said, it's a tall task, or, you know, the odds are against it, but if they get this sweep, that would be massive. And people were like, well, you know, you can't say that with the way they're hitting. And I was like, no. I just mean, like, Pablo Lopez is one of the best pitchers in baseball, and we saw why today. He's electric. He is awesome. And I was like, it's him versus Albert Suarez. And nothing, no offense to Albert or you know, any of those other guys, but, like, the Twins probably should have been favored in that game. Obviously, they're not a good team right now, but I thought they had the upper hand just by the pitching matchup. But that's why you play the game. But again, we saw how disgustingly bad their lineup is right now, and we saw how disgusting Lopez was. And then we also saw Suarez come out and just wow everyone. The best is, like, I get a text from my dad at, like, I think it was like 1:49. And all he said was, who is Albert Suarez? And it's like, everybody in Baltimore, like, you know, this is everybody in Baltimore. Like, who is this guy?
It kind of reminds me of, like,
spring training, and he had a great spring training, but, you know, came out of nowhere today and very Joe Saunders-esque, very, very Joe Saunders-esque. And I couldn't be happier for Suarez and you know, him coming up. And what did they say? First time in the bigs in 6 years, I think.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah, he's been around.
2017 with the Giants, I believe.
Yeah, he's bounced around the minors for 12 years. I mean, that's like, that guy's been riding the bus. He's just kind of one of these professional, just grinded out, you know, pitchers. And I was actually talking about this with Zach Bollinger on the recap the other night. He got those guys sometimes. And this was before they had even signed him or anything. This was, you know, they had traded for Johan Ramirez, I think is who we were talking about. And yeah, they also just filthy. Yeah, exactly. And they bring Suarez onto the 40 man just pretty much out of nowhere. It was, you know, kind of a weird thing. And all of a sudden he's starting in this game. You know, I can't really remember the last time something like this happened, but I mean, you get the sandwich of Swerve and Irvin on Monday. And then Grayson is kind of obviously the meat, the horse in the middle there. And then just a completely random, you know, throw out for Albert Suarez. And we mentioned the pitching lab, but it's another thing with these, you know, these guys they have in the front office from Sig on down, like they've got their numbers and they trust them. And sometimes it's Felix Hernandez not even wanting to play baseball. Sometimes it's Matt Harvey looking checked out, you know, just kind of just trying to eat innings for you in a dying season. And then sometimes the vibes are good and a guy comes in like this and he has to start like this, and we'll see how sustainable it is. But for right now, he just earned you a win, and every win counts. So
most certainly does. I think that this series as well was a demonstration of the Orioles' emphasis on exit velo and dragging their flat bat through the zone. These home runs and these rippers that they're having, we're not seeing a lot of high lofting 35 degree plus launch angles on these. The Orioles had the 5 hardest hit balls in the game today. They had 4 of 5 on Tuesday and 5 of 5 on Monday. They are pissing on the baseball. Gunnar Henderson and Ryan O'Hearn and Jordan Westberg. Kowser, I don't think, did it as much this series, but has been as well. They are pissing on baseballs, not to mention guys like Cedric that can get it going a little bit. Adley's not maybe the highest EV guy for a catcher. He might be up there, but he's been getting up. I think he's in like the 80th percentile still this year. He's known to have that little finesse touch and be able to, you know, go the other way and pop some singles and stuff. But this was a show in this series of pissing on the baseball with a really level bat. I mean, Gunnar's home runs and O'Hearn's home runs are not big launch angles. They are just fucking straight lightsabering them out of the ballpark. It is nuts to watch. It is fly swatter central in Camden Yards right now. It has been so fun to watch. It has been like a cartoon almost.
It feels like when Gunnar's slotted.
Go on.
It feels like when Gunnar slotted, he really likes you mentioned that it's not super up, but he does kind of like to be in the bottom of the barrel zone, sort of. So it's like a little bit of a liner, but he gets a little bit underneath it. And it feels like when he was kind of swinging at everything and he wasn't making much contact, it felt like he was just trusting that and just trusting that and trusting that it wasn't working. And now it's almost like he didn't really make any changes, but now they're just falling in the zone and he's just absolutely crushing them. But yeah, that's just kind of to your point. Eric, what do you got?
He that ball that he hit for his single right back up the middle, that ball was insane. I think they said it. They were like, oh, 103. And I was like, no, 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 no. That's like 113. I thought that ball was going to murder the pitcher. Like, again, it's just a single, so it won't get talked about. You won't see it on Twitter. I thought that was the hardest ball he's hit. I mean, that thing was absolutely just dotted, and he smoked it. And again, the home run was super loud. But yeah, you're right. I mean, they're not like these high, you know, big, you know, straight up in the air. They're just rockets. They're rockets right off the bat. And going back to Suarez, this is a quote from Steve Molesky. He said, in March in Florida, Suarez told us after signing with the Orioles last September, he spent 2 weeks in Sarasota with coaches who suggested adjustments he could make to add velocity. It worked. When he pitched in 2016-17 with the Giants, he was throwing 92-93, averaging 96 today. So again, it's like these guys, and we've seen it over and over and over. Like you said, Matt Harvey, Felix Bautista, Yennier Cano, Danny Coulomb, Perez, like all of these guys, they find them and they go, it's like clay, and they go, oh, we're going to do this and we're just going to fix you like that. And boom, now you're a brand new pitcher, you know, new arm slot, new this, new movement, new everything. Again, even Gunner or Grayson, they were talking about Koska had a good article yesterday about one of Grayson's pitches and how he's added like 5 miles an hour to it. And it's just, whatever these guys are doing, man, we used to always drool over Rays pitchers and Steelers wide receivers. And I would always just be like, just if you could give that, you know, whoever's developing those positions, give them a blank check. Now, we have that now with the Orioles. I don't know what the hell they're doing, but everything they touch really seems to turn to gold. So
Mr. Positions.
Big positions guy. But
that should be the title, Mr. Positions.
Maybe I'll change my name next time. But again, it's just the player development now. Like Spenny just went on and on about the flat bat, the exit velocity, all that stuff. It's crazy how it's translating and it's working so well for pretty much everybody. So it's absolutely wonderful to see. And it's funny because somebody tweeted me and they were like, I'm not used to, I just envisioned the, like, I don't know what to do with my hands. They were like, I don't know what to do with all these pitchers who come here and automatically get better. Because that's never happened with us before. And I was like, I think I just said, like, get used to it, buddy. Like, get ready to learn pitching lab, bud. Like, that's what we do now.
100%. I'm just perusing through some stats here, too, in those two veins. And going into today, the highest average exit velocities in the MLB, Gunnar Henderson, third, 96.6. We're going to see that tick up after today. It's early, small sample size. Jordan Westberg, eighth in baseball. He has been pounding the ball as well. He also is the one guy that feels like is not at some sort of mental warfare with the wall as a righty. He's just clearing that pitch. 94.7 there has him in eighth place. Ryan O'Hearn, 94.4. Three of the hardest hitters through the first couple weeks in baseball here are on the Baltimore Orioles. And that's not including Ryan Mountcastle. That's not including Tony Taters. That's not including Colton Cowser, who probably doesn't have enough to qualify. Or no, excuse me, Colton Cowser, 34th there. So, I mean, still in the top 30-ish of baseball. It's been – my jaw drops. I just can't believe how hard they're hitting the baseball. And then Suarez today was just it was a laughing stock. And in terms of where do they do this, how are they doing this, they can't keep getting away with this. It's been a pleasure to watch, and the series was awesome. What a nice chaser of a series – in that regard, to make you feel good about the direction of the Orioles after a tough series against the Brewers.
It almost makes up, it almost cancels out the getting, you know, you're kicked in the stomach repeatedly by the Brewers. Like, you know, again, you won 4 out of 6 now. It's 2 out of 3. That's all you're doing. So they basically won the Brewers series if you want to look at it like that. But
yeah,
Spenny, I don't know if you saw this tweet, damn it, Jake. The tweet that I had about on Gunner on April 13th, 221, 270, 456 with an OPS of 726. Now he's a casual 288, 346, 603, 949 OPS. Like, that's in 4 days. In 4 days.
Him with the leadoff home run was just a joke today. I texted you and was like, I'm speechless. I don't know what to say. He is obliterating the ball. And the contact was already there before the ball was falling in play or he was hitting out of the yard. He had a couple games where he was pissing on the ball. So, man, Gunner is just as hot as they come. Him and Bobby Witt, shortstops in the AL, young superstars, doesn't get much more exciting than that. Two guys that are looking like the face of baseball right now. Witt kind of is one-upping him in pretty much everything by just a hair there. So excited to see them, and we'll talk about that series a little bit. But, man, what a Gunner series this was.
Here, I do have his numbers. 7 for 13, 3 home runs, 5 RBIs. That's come on. That's stupid.
Imagine him hitting in the 3 or 4 spot with someone that can get on base at a above average clip, you know, leading off instead.
Mm-hmm. Scary. A-Rod numbers.
Imagine
that. What other thoughts? So today 4-2, yesterday the Orioles went absolutely hamboni. Seeing some taxi squad guys get into the game 11-3. We saw Grayson Rodriguez pitch well, a little error-ish by Jackson Holliday. Let's up the triple, you know, whatever. And then on Monday, obviously, the Orioles got it started hot, 7-4 there. And just putting up runs, putting up hits. Ryan O'Hearn has a massive 435-foot home run on Monday. And on Tuesday, we see another 410 out of Ryan O'Hearn, who, man, just whacking the ball there. So the series was outstanding.
Yeah, O'Hearn is really like, my God, people were talking about getting rid of this guy. And, you know, you could have made a case maybe at a certain point, but he is an integral part of this team right now. I forget who keeps tweeting this out. It might be one of the beat guys, but he's not going anywhere. Like he seems like one of these expendable guys in the middle of the order who you could swap in or swap out for one of these prospects, but he is really making his case. What do you got on that, Eric?
I think it's JCM because he tweeted yesterday, like, y'all wanted to trade this guy for a middle reliever. And that's all he said.
I think you're right. It is our guy, Jacob Calvin-Meyer.
His baseball savant page is very fun to look at. I know Brendan Mortensen tweeted it out, I think, this morning. And then the Orioles threw it out up there. Just a ton of red. It's like, Jake, it's the way you just the red sea everywhere. Just everything is so red. Just every – and, again, it's like high 90s every number. So – he is, again, we talked about, you know, last week it was like, yeah, Kowser seeing the ball so well, and he's locked in. So is Mountcastle. They were like, hey, by the way, Gunner is on another level. Oh, by the way, it was Ryan. Like, he's just – and I saw somebody tweeted earlier, or they commented earlier about the pinch hit when Hyde took him out today and put in Hayes, and it's like – sure, whatever. They won the game. Doesn't matter. But, yeah, he's starting to get to these, like – I think we kind of need O'Hearn in the lineup every single, you know, single lineup now, except for rest him on Sundays or something. But he's he's become a very just great part of this team vibes wise. He, you know, I said it on the pod last night, but like, he seems like an absolute psycho like that. Cause he had the quote where when he hit the home run last night, they reviewed it where Buxton was going back and the fan was there. And they were like, there's no shot that the fan interfered with Buxton just because of the dynamic of the ballpark. And there's 8 feet in between the wall and the other wall. And I don't know if you guys saw his quote, but he said, I was ready to go George Brett if they overturned it. Hyde said, Hyde gave me the go ahead to go George Brett. And I was like, I kind of wanted to see that because he actually may murder someone along with Gunner, but
change his pants.
He is perfect. I love him. Great addition. Again, cash considerations. You know, what else can you say about him? He's born to be a Baltimore Oriole.
And then go change his pants in the dugout. The George Brett comment was amazing, obviously. And the Office Space clip that I get to tweet out every time is just my favorite thing in the world. Showing her my O face. You know what I'm talking about.
Oh, him, baby. Yep. One of my other favorite little tweets of the series, Jacob Calvin-Meyer, because we were talking about him. He tweeted 7:27 on the 16th Tuesday. Through 3 innings, the Orioles have scored 7 runs on 9 hits. Gunnar Henderson is 3-for-3 with a home run and an RBI single to score Jackson Holliday. Jordan Westberg hit a 2-run home run. Grayson Rodriguez has thrown 3 scoreless innings. The 2024 Orioles are buzzing. That sentence, saying those names in that production, Gunner driving in Jackson Holliday, Westberg hits a home run, Grayson is thrown 3 scoreless. That sentence is enough to make a grown 2022 Orioles fan man cry. Like, how are they just, whatever, Holiday's 7 games in, whatever, bust, whatever. They just aren't missing. Guys just aren't missing. It's insane. Their hit rate is crazy right now on these prospects. It is through the roof. Grayson Rodriguez had that lat pull, had some troubles there, and you know, easily could have maybe gotten into, oh, he's a 4-5 ERA guy. You know what? Not even. Even Grayson is just buzzing dudes down. His curveball is like 2,700 RPM on it now, too. That curveball has gotten nasty. The changeup is nasty. This is just unreal. Unreal time to be an Orioles fan.
Mm-hmm. First off, shout out to our Lord and Savior, Dan Duquette, on that one. Big time stuff there, obviously. And then, but yeah, I mean, dude, like you brought it up, and it just makes me realize every single time that I'm watching these opposing broadcasts, which is most of the time, streaming client that I use, please get it together and let me get a Masson feed. That would be very nice. But it is really entertaining to listen to the other ones because they're like, yeah, you know, these Orioles a couple of years ago, you come into town and you talk to their broadcasting team and it's just not very competitive. They're just kind of waiting for all these prospects, and now they're here. And, you know, it's like every time they announce it, like, oh, he was a first round pick. He was 7th overall. Oh, here's another first round pick. He was 5th overall. And they're just kind of like in awe of the fact that, like, this is an entirely homegrown roster that was a ton of first round picks. And we've made the point that it wasn't all for tanking, but a couple of these guys, Kowser, Westberg, certainly, they were guys that were a product of that. So, you know, it's been mighty fun to watch. And, you know, it still doesn't totally feel like the weight of expectations has started to crush them yet, too. We're not quite there. We're still kind of just, you know, riding that fun wave of the fact that all these guys are still coming up and they still got a few more on the way.
100,000%. What do you say we do three doggy dogs here?
I already gave one, obviously, so somebody else can start.
I mean, gotta go Suarez. I'm gonna go Suarez here. Coming up, 34 years old, hasn't been in the bigs in 7 years, and is just whiffing dudes down. Gets Hyde's confidence early, which means it looks the part. I think I texted earlier in the group chat, and I don't know, you know, to quote Ruth from Ozarks, you know, I don't know F about S. I don't know fuck about shit. So with that in mind, his delivery just looked so smooth and effortless and kind of reminds you of Cano a little, able to get that right movement, left movement. He can come at you. If you're a lefty, he can come at you. If you're a righty, and he's got, you know, good RPMs on that fastball. The fastball is good velo. So that was a dog performance for me. And dog being a guy getting a spot start that hasn't been in baseball for so long, and just the result of that and the whiffs and all of it was fantastic. Absolute dog performance.
Yeah. I mean, he had to be mentioned. I'll go Cedric again. I think I have to, he put on a show, in game one with, I mean, arguably probably the catch of the year so far. Just an incredible catch, you know, full extension layout. Hayes said it looked like he was floating for like 2 seconds out there. Just an incredible play to track that ball, get back there. And if you watch his head, I mean, it literally, they tell you, you know, watch the ball into the glove. He does exactly that. You see his head follow. Incredible catch. Incredible athlete. He's played some fantastic defense this year. Just he's, you know, I feel like last year he was robbed of the gold glove. And this year it's almost like he's taking that very personal. You can see the chip on his shoulder. And then again, the home run, you know, he had a home run in game one, the home run today, to finish it. I have his numbers. I think he only had 3 hits in the series, but he's 3-for-12, 2 home runs, 5 RBIs, and the catch of the year. I mean,
you'll take that out of your 6 hitter.
Yeah, yeah, which is crazy. Again, it's like, this is a guy who hit 30-30 a couple years ago. You know, he's fallen off. He's been hurt. You know, everyone's kind of not written him off, but, you know, I've been guilty of it too, being like, oh, he has to play a little better. He's walking a decent amount now. He's hitting, it seems like, almost every game. I know he had an 8-game hit streak going, I believe, but he's hitting the ball hard. And again, good stuff happens when you hit the ball hard. We've seen it with Gunner, and it's going to come around, and it's coming around for Cedric. So the defense is always going to be there for him. It's always the offense. That's the question. And right now I've said it for a couple of years. He is the straw that really stirs the drink. When he's going, the Orioles really seem to go. So he's playing very well right now. And you love to see it. It's, again, always when old guys can come through, like Tony Taters did today too. But yeah, gotta go Seti. Props to him. We could give it, it's like Gunner's getting to that, like, LeBron point, or we could say it's Gunner every series. Like, you could just say it's him and Mahomes, and it's LeBron, Gunner, and Mahomes.
We could name it like the Gunner Henderson dog of the week, like dogs of the week, and then don't have to mention him.
I was going to say, like, with mine, like, Gunner is the obvious answer because you guys didn't mention him, but, like, it's way too obvious. So, you know, I'll go Taters, you know, potatoes, you know, it takes a break on Monday. Then he comes in, you know, he drove in a run on Tuesday night, had a 2-hit game there. And then obviously he had the home run today, but also you got to call out the fact that absolutely smoked the dugout wall, I think it was, and he took the paint off it. I mean, he's starting to get some velo going too. So how about we give a little shine to Tony Taters? It's nice to see him get off the schneid a little bit.
Yeah. He brought his parents up here. His parents were staying with him for like a month. So they said after the home run, he motioned to them, gestured to them. So that's always always cool. So good for so it's funny. Somebody sent me a video on Twitter, and they were like, tomorrow when I'm at work, yeah, I'm gonna do the Tony Taters thing when I do something good, like, you know, import an Excel sheet. That's what you can start doing. So I love that. I'm gonna start doing that with the udders, the milking. So we'll get that off the ground, Jake.
Yeah. Just call me whenever you need me, and I'll show up.
Orioles will be heading to Kansas City to take on the Royals for the second time this year, following a very PTSD small ball Royals series where we saw the Orioles will also see Cole Reagans again, I believe, Saturday, if I'm not mistaken, too, who's been lights out there. So
trickle down economics.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Eric, thoughts on that series? Thoughts on anything looking ahead?
Yeah, I mean, I'm very happy that they're going to get these guys out of the way now. You know, this is I don't want to play them in August or in September. Because I mean, they're 12-6 right now. They're a very good team. But this is a team that's only going to get better, I think, barring any injury. But again, it's like, I'm very happy that we are getting these six out of the way now, and that we won't have to worry about them, and we will go on from there. But yeah, it's Kramer and Marsh. Marsh has pitched pretty well too. I have him in fantasy. He's a nice little pitcher for them. Saturday, again, that's the one you circle. Burns and Reagans. Is that how you say it? Reagans?
I think Reagans. I have to look that
up. And then it's Irving.
Reagans, yeah. Reagans.
Yeah. Versus Seth Lugo on Sunday. So this is a series where, again, I think you look to win too. Obviously, you want to take the series. I think you can with Kramer and Corbin going. Again, it's nice to they swept the team and like had a great series, and their ace didn't even pitch, you know, which is so nice because you have him saved up for this, which again should be like a prime time great matchup on Saturday
weekend. But two young teams with lots of star power. It's a huge matchup. A lot of fun early in the year.
Yep, for sure. But again, it's nice to like have like, oh, that's right. We have, you know, if you lose game one, usually you're like, oh shit, how are we gonna kind of get back to the surface and, you know, catch our breath. And now it's like, oh, we have Corbin Burns, you know, going game two. So yeah, it's gonna be an exciting one. You know, two out of three. That's the hope for the series. And then you go. I said it to Brian and Taylor. Weird road trip. Kansas City to LA, and then back home to play Oakland. Like, it's just weird. You would think that they're going to stay out there longer than they are. So I don't know, bizarre series, but
yeah, with all the uncertainty swirling in Oakland right now, you know, maybe for the vibes, it's best to just avoid that, you know, whatever they got going on over there.
Yeah. But usually again, it's like, you know, they'll go LA to Arizona. I know they played in Arizona last year, but like LA to Arizona to Seattle and then fly home or something, but not like the one series out west and then flying back is very strange. So I'm sure
as we've been talking about, the scheduling gods have not been kind to them to start the year here. And it feels like things are finally starting to settle down with the weather and all that too. So
yeah, let's hope so. We got a break with the Twins. The Twins, man, they are, again, we caught them at the right time because that offense is dog shit behind besides Byron Buxton, who I love. Byron Buxton is one of my favorite players to watch. I thought his body was going to explode into a billion pieces last night when he made that catch.
That catch was sick. I mean, like,
that was not worth it. That was not worth it.
No. If Cedric hadn't had his catch, like, that would have been all over, like, Twitter and everything, but it kind of got overshadowed.
Yeah. So, again, like Spenny, like you said, fun series. Two young teams, two teams that are going to be on the up and up. Bobby Witt, Gunnar Henderson, a lot of star power, and let's hope that they can get two out of that.
Okay.
Well said. Orioles 12-6 heading to Kansas City and half game back of the good old New York Yankees there, who did take care of business today. So fired up. If you're listening, we'd love for you to like and subscribe. We'd love to have you on YouTube.
Sorry to cut you off, but shout out to the fired up guy. Generational performance out there today. You know, it's always funny when you get these day games in the middle of the week where there's not a lot of people. You can kind of hear the audio. He was putting on a clinic out there today with the I'm fired up chance.
I had it on low volume. I was working through the day, but I love to know that's happening. Also, very good day crowd considering what it usually is for the Orioles, especially this time of year. Awesome day crowd. It looked like the home plate view from center field of Seti hitting the walk-off, the roar of the crowd. I don't know if you guys saw that one, but really cool. It was really loud. Looked like fans are coming, attendance boosted. People are talking about this team. You see droves of people. I'm having to explain to all my stupid friends what the taxi squad is again. That's how you know. Like, that's a conversation you have when the Orioles are good. What is the taxi squad? How does that work?
I think I learned about the taxi squad when Gunnar came up, because I think they put him on that like the night before, and then they just
brought it happens him a lot with top prospects in September, but beginning of the year, usually you have to have a catcher, and it's usually guys that like float back and forth from AAA, and it's emergency situation guys for the most part that are ready to rock and roll. Like Ben Boom last year was the catcher there. So that's how you know when people are asking what the taxi squad is, and you have to explain. My one buddy was like, why didn't they call it Basalo instead? I was like, uh-oh, here we go. That's the Lamar fan 420-69 that Eric hates so much. So there we go.
Exactly. I can't believe they brought him up. God. Shut up. Just eat it. Just eat it.
Thank you for that, a good vibe. Thank you for being the voice of all sense and sensibility on Orioles Twitter. That's you.
I try. By the way, I do want to say, if it didn't rain earlier, that ball, Jackson's ball, would have gone out. If there was no mugginess, humidity. If it's June, that ball's on the fly court. So I just want to put that out
there.
He has a home run. Also, we ended on these, but these more, just more stats. Like, they're just, I have to throw them all in. Last year, Gunnar had his sixth home run on June 2nd in San Francisco. Like, we remember that night game he hit that home run. That was his sixth home run of the year. He has six.
Is that the one that went out into the water and that dude in the kayak had like a religious experience corralling it in? I gotta go.
So yeah, that's Dave. His name is Dave.
Okay,
he's the best. But then 2023, Gunnar hit his sixth home run in the Orioles' 57th game of the year. 2024, Gunnar hit it in the Orioles' 18th game of the year. So it's very stupid what he is doing right now. Very, very stupid. The stupid stat of the day.
You're an on-pace guy, revealing yourself to be one.
Sometimes.
So what is that? Six home runs, 17 games. It's about a third, one-third of games.
I did it the other night. It came out to like 48, I think.
Yeah, he's off to a hot start. Hot start.
Okay.
That about does it.
You got the Bringing Out the Dead, Nicolas Cage coming out in the ambulance there behind you.
You guys can hear that. Yep. good old Ford Avenue. I just have to get all the Locust Point, all you Locust Point Peninsula folks, have your ambulances come through my way. I forget I'm not on Zoom. Zoom, I will say, has great suppression of audio. No one ever complains about that.
Okay. Well, no worries. It's all good. Sometimes it's good to have the more raw feeling. We're a little bit more of a work hard, play hard environment around here. We're not trying one of these buttoned up professionals sitting in some sterile environment. You get the real stuff with us, and that's why you love us, and that's why we love you, boys. Is that all we got before we get us out of here?
I think so. Enjoy the off day. Hopefully, the boys rest up in Kansas City, get some nice barbecue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I hope that's all they do. Thank you guys very much for listening. We will talk to you again very soon. In the meantime, if you wouldn't mind, go ahead and subscribe to us on YouTube. If you liked what you heard, hit us up with the comments as well down below to get the algorithm pumping. Follow us on social media at X52 Podcast across Twitter, Instagram, TikTok. I am at Jake Luke. That's LOUQUE, Eric at EDITTI22. Spenny at Ravens 4 Dummies. That's the number 4 in the middle there. You can also follow Brian at Barstool Banks and Taylor at Taylor Smythe 10. We will be back at you guys very soon with plenty more content. So in the meantime, have yourselves a good rest of your week.
See ya.
Arrivederci.